welcome to the 2082nd broadcast of The White Way, a public service radio program of Mo'ili'ili Honganji. Mo'ili'ili Honganji is a Jodo Shinshu Buddhist temple located at 902 University Avenue. Our resident minister is the Reverend Bert Sumikawa, and the assisting minister is the Reverend Blaine Higa. They and the members of our temple invite you to join us at temple services and activities. If you go to our internet website at www.moililihonganji.org, you can find a map of our location and some information about our temple and activities. This morning's program is sponsored by Mrs. Alice Shiroma in memory of George Shiroma. Our speaker is Mrs. Juliet Lee, author of many books and Tokudo graduate. She is currently associate professor at Leeward Community College teaching creative writing, and also helps periodically to conduct services at Kapolei Buddhist Sangha. Good morning, Mrs. Lee.
Good morning, everyone. My many thanks to Richard in the office and Reverend Bert Sumikawa at Mo'ili'ili Honganji for this opportunity. My thanks also to the many sponsors of this program who, year after year, help us with their kindness and generosity, without whom this White Way broadcast would not be possible. And to all our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to these informative broadcasts. For those who are new to this program, our warmest welcome, and my wish is that it brings some new understanding into your life. This program is one way we are able to listen to the teachings of Jodo Shinshu and to broaden our faith and trust in Amida Buddha. Recently, I met a woman who said that she was living alone, and because of her age and her many illnesses, she was unable to go to the temple, even though she did not live very far away. She said she was very thankful for the White Way broadcasts because they brought the temple to her and made her feel as if she were younger and listening to the Buddha's and Shinran Shonen's teachings once again. She said she looked forward to the broadcasts every week because they lifted her spirits and took her mind off her pains, even if just for a little while. So this is my hope and aspiration for you today, that my words may be uplifting or at least teach you something about being a more grateful, gracious, and happier human being. My mother was always a happy woman. I am lucky that she was such a role model in showing members of our family how to be happy. No matter what hardships she faced, no matter how much of a hard time others gave her, or how much of a hard time I gave her when I was a young child, she remained happy and cheerful and went about her work, ignoring those who were sourpuss or habutero or had on what she called a big balloon face. Whenever she said this, she would laugh and blow air into her cheeks. A testament of her good cheer would have to be how she coped after the occurrence of the tsunami that hit Hilo on April Fool's Day, 1946. At that time, we were living in Hilo in an area called Shimachi, which was part of Waikea Town. We lived on the water's edge in one of the houses near the entrance to Wailoa River. We faced Hilo Bay and were situated right across what is now called Liliuokalani Park, or to us growing up in Hilo at the time, the tea garden. Needless to say, we lost everything. Now, whenever I see what happened in the tsunami after the Tohoku earthquake of 2011, I find it unbelievable that our family survived the tsunami that hit Hilo. For a brief while after the tsunami devastation, it was said that my mother always talked about what life was like before the tsunami and what life was like after the tsunami. She would say something like this: "Before the tsunami, we had our own house. Now we live in a rental." Or, "Once I had a nice set of dishes. Now they're all cracked and gone." Or, "Once I had a lovely tansu and beautiful kimono. Now my tansu is broken and my kimono are all stained." However, her lament, I learned, didn't last very long. After the initial shock of the devastation, she put a smile on her face, found a job, and together she and my father managed to eventually own their own home after years of saving for it. She called the tsunami just another setback in her life. It took many years to climb out of poverty because we lost everything. But during that time, she never blamed the tsunami for us being poor or claimed it was the tsunami's fault that she had to face so many hardships in her life. Instead, she went on to work two jobs, sewed all of our clothing, never went out to eat, and made sure that we, her daughters, had everything we needed for school. During this time, she hardly ever bought anything for herself. And yet, through all of this, she managed to remain cheerful and claimed that the tsunami was just doing what it was supposed to do. In those lean years, her greatest entertainment was to have her four sisters over so they could talk story and reminisce about their lives. They would often burst out laughing at the mention of something that happened back then in what they called the old plantation days. My mother laughed, and often the loudest, and sometimes she laughed so hard that she was close to crying, whereupon she could hardly catch her breath. Seeing her like this, I would always say, "Oh, Mom," and complain because it wasn't cool of her to laugh so heartily. I was at the age when to be cool was to have control, and my mother didn't have control when she laughed too loudly with tears streaming down her face. But now, as I look back, those were some of the best times for her and everyone else in the family. In 1995, my mother was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. During her treatments, what she loved to do most was to see old movies, especially Bing Crosby movies, and she could be heard chuckling to herself at the funny parts in her bedroom. Watching the Karate Kid series starring Pat Morita as Mr. Miyagi was another favorite of hers. She laughed and laughed when my husband would mimic Mr. Miyagi, who was the karate teacher in the movie, and say to her, "Okasan, wax on, wax off." Or he would mimic the villain to say, "Miyagi, come out, we fight now." At this, she would cover her mouth, hold her stomach, and laugh and laugh. On days she was feeling all right, she and I went to the movies. For her, the best part of the outing was to eat ice cream at Baskin's and Robbins, something she said she never had enough of in her life. Later, as her illness progressed, and despite having little strength, she still managed to smile and laugh and thank everyone who cared for her. Even to the very last, she managed to laugh or to say something funny to make us laugh. She liked to tell jokes, and I must have gotten this from her, for like me, she was never able to deliver the punchline very well. And that in itself was funny, which made us laugh all the more. How I would give anything to hear her laugh once more. When I was younger, in what I called my gloomy years, I would often puzzle over as to how she managed to stay so cheerful when everything around her seemed to be falling apart. Everyone marveled at her fortitude and endurance. And where did this all come from? To me, there is no doubt it came from years of listening to the Dharma. My mother was an example of someone who had done what we Buddhists call deep listening. She was happy every day because of it. For her, despite many difficult years, she managed to live a life of equilibrium. This equilibrium came to her because she recited the Nembutsu whenever she had a mind to. She was grateful for all things, good and bad. Good and bad, you say? But how can that be? When I was giving Dharma lessons to fifth graders from the Buddhist Academy and told them they had to be thankful sometimes even for the bad things in their lives, and the big question for the students became, how can I be grateful to the boy who bullies me? And this is how I answered them. Look at the boy who bullies you. He must be suffering inside of himself in some way, so he feels he has to hurt or taunt you. You should feel sorry for him. You should also be thankful to him, for he is showing you how not to behave. His behavior, not the behavior of a kind human being. He is showing you, through his bad behavior, how you must look at things with the right view. He is showing you through his bad behavior how to conduct yourself with right conduct. He is showing you through his hurtful speech how you must use right speech. Clearly, the bully is not following the Eightfold Path. After I said this, what was gratifying about the small lesson was that some students actually found it helpful, for they could see what was happening to the bully, and with this little amount of understanding, the students who were being bullied were better able to stand up for themselves. My mother stood up for herself in a very positive way by making herself responsible for her own happiness. She created an attitude of gratefulness which made her happy inside of herself. No matter how hard times were, she went along in her life with a nembutsu in her heart and made her own happiness, which was like a steady flame in her. It never wavered much and never went out. And I've been lucky, for her example has been part of her legacy to me. Because of her example, I try to be happy every day. Truly, okage-sama de. Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Lee. If you would like to listen to Juliet Lee's talk again, or if you missed a previous White Way radio broadcast and would like to listen to the speaker, you can now listen to talks via Mo'ili'ili Honganji's website, www.mo'ili'ilihonganji.org. Look under 2015 speakers. And now, here are some announcements. Today, March 7th, is Mo'ili'ili's Spring Seminar with speaker Reverend Richard Tennis. The topic is Being Buddhist in a Violent World. How can we live peacefully? Tomorrow, Sunday, March 8th, Reverend Tennis will be the guest speaker at Mo'ili'ili's 9 a.m. service. Following the service at 10:30, there will be a showing of the movie Under the Blood Red Sun. Please join us. Next Sunday is Ohigang, or Spring Equinox service, and our guest speaker will be the Reverend David Fujimoto of Puna Honganji. As we come to the close of our program this morning, we would like to thank our sponsor, Mrs. Alice Shiroma, and our guest speaker, Mrs. Juliet Lee. My name is Susan Morishige, and I've been your announcer technician for this broadcast. Thank you for listening. Please join us again next week on The White Way, when our speaker will be the Reverend Shigenori Makino. Namo Amida Butsu.